What is up, everyone? Welcome to Toffee Blues USA, your source for all things Everton American style. I am Jerry, as I tend to be on the occasional Thursday, coming to you, not live, but recorded from Winston-Salem, North Carolina in the United States. Joining me is frequent visitor, recidivist. He's completely cool with coming on here and talking to me and admitting it in public. You know, and he's got a bigger smile than normal, which I didn't think was possible. I wonder why. Jake Holton from Cincinnati, Ohio, is joining us again from Toffee Targets. And, yeah, man, Jake, welcome back. Happy man.
It's good to be here. And, man, what a week to join this show. Woof, woof, I feel good. Boy, I feel good. Yeah, I've never felt better as an Everton supporter.
Oh my gosh. It's so we had like just this waterfall, just this we have this frequent drip, if you will, of good news for Evertonians that started happening about a week and a half ago, maybe a week ago, something like that. And it's just a lot of good vibes. And we were gonna start by kind of talking about those one by one, and then we'll get a little bit more specific. So I would be remiss if I didn't start with the thing that is not chronologically the first thing that happened, but the thing that I think has had all of us just belly laughing in public, preferably in front of anyone with a red shirt. Got a little derby win at Anfield this weekend.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. How's that sitting with you, Jake?
Oh, how's it sitting with me? Wow. I mean, like, I woke up that morning and I was like, I was feeling like not 100%. I was not like super under, I was not like super sick or anything, but like, just didn't feel that great. And then, yeah, you know, I was waiting for the team news to come out, and the team news comes out and I'm like, this side, I feel no confidence in this side. This doesn't feel like a side that's going to go in there and win at Anfield. Like, I'm like, well, I'm just expecting a loss. And
we're going to have to talk about that more later. That's a specific question, by the way, is how confident were you when the team news came out? So you already beat it to the punch. So you were able to go out and watch the derby.
Yeah. So we had a group. We were, you know, safe as we could be at Dana Gardens, and there was a good number of us. And you know, I stood the whole time. It's one of the only times I didn't sit for the entire match. I didn't sit during halftime. I didn't sit at all during play. And you know, obviously, 3 minutes into the match, bang, they're ahead, and just you lose your mind. Your head completely falls off your shoulders. And you're just like, I can't believe this is real. We just took the lead at Anfield in 3 minutes. And then the immediate thought runs through your head like, oh no, we have to hold a lead for 87 minutes now.
Yeah.
Obviously, they were up to the task. And, you know, I was really hoping Dominic Calvert-Lewin would have gotten that goal. And I'm a little disappointed that Alexander Arnold took him down in the box, because I think that would have been a really good icing on the cake for Calvert-Lewin to get another goal in a derby, you know, with the winning goal coming super late on. That would have been really awesome. But yeah, I'll take the Sigurdsson penalty, and I'll take a win no matter how it comes.
Yeah, I was really looking forward to – I was trying to make a pilgrimage down to Charlotte to hang out with the Carolina Toffees at Queen City Bites and Crafts. Then I found out my kid had a soccer tournament out of town in Mebane. And, it was cool. Cause I mean, well, they won the tournament.
Not a bummer,
but
yeah. It's not a bummer. That's the wrong term, but like,
I'm with you, dude. The consolation is my kid played well. Their team played great. It was cool. Plus, this is like an elite team. It's like a local group, and there's like five or six Evertonian parents on that team, right? And it's awesome. And I've never seen anything like it. It's so cool. And of course, Bennett's game is like right smack dab in the middle of the derby, right? It's kicking off just as the derby's about to finish. And the whole way, you know, Bennett's in my backseat watching the game on his on my phone. I'm like, dude, somebody's got to watch it. You watch it. Tell me what's going on. You know, and so he got to watch most of the game. And then we get there and I set up the camera because I've been recording my kids' games lately just because I find it keeps me calmer during games. And I'm not as animated. So the cool thing is I'm setting up and then there's this group of parents like nearby. One of them's Colombian, by the way. Huge James and Mina fan and all that. But he's got the game on and I'm able to just kind of lean over as I'm setting up the camera and we're all, it's just a group of people crowded around a phone watching an Everton game at a youth soccer game right before kickoff. And we're flipping out because we're like, oh my gosh, is it a penalty? Is it a penalty? What's going on? And it was oh my gosh. And one guy who actually, I think every once in a while he listens to this, watches this show, but he's Irish, right? And his son plays for our team. And I saw him from across the field. And he's like jumping up and skipping and going, what the fuck are Tommy? It's madness. Madness at a youth soccer field. All because of a derby. And it's the coolest. It's because I'm not used to seeing like Everton groups like that. Like that in North Carolina. I'm just not used to that. And it was such a cool. Oh, it was cool vibes. I hated having to, I was having to watch the game, on a cell phone and not even see the rest of it live. But the next morning, we had recorded it, so the whole family gathered around and watched it before my kid played in the final. So it was, good motivation, good vibes, you know. It was awesome. But not really – it's not the ideal viewing scenario. But I will say, even being around a cell phone with, five or six other Evertonians – kind of cool, you know. It was not even I can't even imagine being in a bar hanging out, you know, which would be rad. So was that one of the first gatherings you guys have been able to have
since the wild? We've been having small gatherings, five mm-hmm. people spread out, masks on, real safe stuff, and everyone had a mask on Saturday, so it's not like everyone was maskless and right next to each other. Everyone had a mask on, so everyone was being safe, right? But it was a big group, you know. It was mm-hmm. 20 people, you know. We were 20 deep at least, and that's like awesome. Madness, just madness in there.
Good energy, very cool, very cool. Oh, Jake. Yeah, there's an old movie called A Face in the Crowd starring Andy Griffith. It's an Elia Kazan movie. And there's this commercial with Andy Griffith, and he has this – it's a shot of just his mouth. And it's Andy Griffith's mouth laughing maniacally. And I've been – and I want to find it and just play it on a loop. It's all I wanted to do after that win. I was just like, I want to find that Andy Griffith laughing where he's going, ah, ha, ha, just goofy grin. That's how I felt. It was just a constant cackle, you know? Oh my gosh. Absolutely. And you know what? I've only had one red message me and he was fine. He wasn't blaming wind or any of that mm-hmm. kind of nonsense. You know, and I was nice back to him. You know what I mean? There's no need to rub it in. No need. If he's going to be cool. But I don't know. Did I remember the times where he was giving me crap about Pickford? Yes, I did. Do I remember all that other nonsense?
Yeah, nah, I,
but ugh.
If I had any red fans, any red friends, I would have been giving it to him. Oh. I'd have been giving it to him night and day. I'd still be giving it to him right now.
Now, my buddy Matt, the guy who
Saturday at the exact time that they lost, I'd be saying, hey, you remember what happened a week ago, this second?
Yeah, I can't yet. If he, any, next time I catch a little shit, I will. But I, you know, he's this Red's like the illustrator of my book, and he's like one of my friends. And I feel kind of, he's a nice one, you know. He's one of the nice ones. Still, I know what you mean. So, anything else? But we're not going to get big analysis on this yet. We're going to do that after our good news, as we slalom through the good news. I don't know why I said that. Just felt right.
There's never this much to get through, so.
Yeah, it's such, yeah, it's so cool. So, next bit of good news, okay? Stadium approval in Goodison Park, approval, the community plans, all approved. The council said yay. So that's just holy shit, you know.
Right.
That's fantastic.
Right.
What's funny is I told my son, I was like, yeah, you know, they approved the stadium too. And he goes, what? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, what does it look like? And I'm sitting here thinking, buddy, you watched the video with me several times in a row when you were younger. But sure, let's do that. And we watched it. And he was astounded with how good it looked, which is cool. And his buddy's a Spurs fan. And his buddy was looking over. He's like, that's not what I thought it would look like. It looks great. And I was like, yeah, okay, yeah. I don't think we're going to convert this kid, but still, I'm fine with it. Yeah. Good vibes on that, and Goodison. The plans are going to be kind of the community implementation they're going to be using for Goodison. Very cool. Very cool stuff. So, I don't really know what to say about that other than yes, and that, you know, that guy who puts the cone out on the wrong dock and made that video, I guess he was wrong. That's all I got.
He's going to look like an idiot in like 3 years' time.
Well, I think he may already be there, Jake. You know, no offense to the man's spicy hot take video. But, you know, anyway. So anything you want to talk about of this? Because I feel like it's one of those that's it's there and it's awesome.
Well, you know, it's more than just an Everton thing, this whole thing. Mm-hmm. You're talking about developing, you know, what has been described to me by Scousers as a derelict area that has just been left behind in mm-hmm. Liverpool. So you're talking about building a massive state-of-the-art stadium that's going to be one of the best grounds in the entire Premier League, and redeveloping the whole Bramley Moor Docks area. Basically adding just a another piece for the entire city. And why Reds say they have to be against anything good news Everton wise, but like, you know, Reds who live in Liverpool should be behind this plan because it is a good thing for their city.
So wasn't there a council person who was a Red? Who voted for it?
Yeah, I think they were like, you know, I might be a Red, but this is really good for Liverpool. So
yeah,
see, it was something along that lines.
Definitely, very cool, very cool.
You know, but I will also add, you know, that last day at Goodison is going to be really hard. It's going to be a long day. It's going to be an emotional day. Like I already like get, you know, wound up about it, like thinking about it, like I'm already like starting to feel emotional just thinking about it. I'm like, I don't want that to end, you know, like Goodison Park means so much to everyone at Everton Football Club, even in the United States, people who've never mm-hmm. been there, you know, they just look at it and they're like, that place means so much to me. So, you know, that's going to be a tough day, but luckily for us, we've got probably, you know, 3 or 4 years left with the old lady, so we can enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm absolutely going and making sure that my family gets there before, you know, we are going to experience Goodison. It's just the way it is. You know, it's going to happen. That's what I was telling Bennett and his friends. I was like, no, we're going to the old, you know, I was like, the history that's there, you don't understand how long it's been there. It's like, you don't understand the games that have been played there. So you don't get it. And so I was like, we are going there. It's going to happen. And then when Bramley Moore happens, we're going to go there too. And they're both going to be amazing experiences for different reasons, you know? So, yeah, man. So that is good news number two, all right? Good news number three, all right? Where do I even want to go next? Because all these are, like, super important. Let's just go because I have less information about this one and I have more information about the next one. But Luka Dean signed a new contract. Luka Dean is committed a little more time. So there's some cynical ways of looking at this. Like, oh, yeah, it means you're going to get more money if you sign somewhere else. Okay. Okay. So it is smart business. One, I'm not mad at that. But also, if he genuinely does intend to stay, which is all indications, yes, then, I mean, that's perfect. You know, he has six assists this season in the Premier League, you know?
In like amazing, less than normal starts for him.
Yeah. Dude. So,
You're talking about a guy.
Go ahead.
Sorry. You're talking about a guy who's created more chances than any left back in the European continent. So having him around for a couple more years is a really good thing for your football club. Yeah. You know, six assists this year. Could have been more. There's been a couple, like the Seamus Coleman diving header this weekend. That would have been number seven.
That one, dude.
My word, what a ball. Holy cow. That man can put a ball on somebody's head, somebody's foot from the most ridiculous positions. And I'm like, I don't even understand how that's possible. But yeah, this is excellent news. Even if you're going to look at it the same nickel way, like, oh, well, they'll sell him if they don't make Europe. Well, fine. Then they'll make £100 million off of him. Like,
it'll be a lot. It'll be a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know how much, but it'll be just smart business. You know, it's another reason to be like, Marcel Bruns, well done, dude. You know? But I think this is one of those I'll choose to be a little naive and say he wants to stay and he wants to be with Carlo. He wants to be with these players and he wants to be with these fans, you know?
So. Yeah, I mean, like, he's a guy who hasn't shown any kind of signs of, like, not being happy. Like,
not at all.
He seems to – I said this after the Derby win on Saturday. It seems like everyone in this squad wants to be here, okay? And then, except for Fabian Delph, that guy sucks, and he needs to get out of the club forever. I hate that guy. He needs to get out of here. He's the only one who I'm like, I don't want him around. But anyway, I am
really sick, Jacob, of you hiding your real feelings about things.
Beating around the bush, me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I should be more upfront. Sorry. I'll do that from now on.
You're too subtle, man.
What do you want from me? Fabian Delph doesn't want to be here.
He wants the basics of football. The basics of football.
That guy sucks, and he never plays because he's always hurt, which isn't his fault. I'm not going to get mad at him for being hurt all the time, but, like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It didn't sit well with people the way he was joking around after the City game, huh?
No.
Yeah.
No. It was a very bad look.
Yeah, not the best. But anyway, hey, no more bad energy on this.
Yes.
Come on.
This is our positive week.
This is good news. Good. This is the good vibes pod, man. That's what's happening right now. Everything's good. We're not going to sully that by talking about Delph's bizarre party with his City peeps. No. No. So.
Fine.
Luka Dean's going to. I was going to hijack this show.
I was going to turn it into what Everton Twitter is all the time.
A Delph hate fest. It's, so anyway, so Luka Dean staying on. Very cool. Good stuff. Uh-huh. I was worried because I was you kept hearing updates about it, but you that happens. That's happened before. You hear, oh, it's going to happen anytime. Oh, it's going to happen anytime. That's the one I'm thinking of, dude. That one burned a little, you know, even though common sense told me the other way was probably
that one hurt. Yeah, because like, yeah.
You're, oh, go ahead, buddy. No, sorry.
Yes. That one kind of stung because like, I remember like a month before he said he wasn't going to sign a new deal, it was basically set in stone that he was going to sign a new deal. And everyone was like, yes, Rom is actually going to stay. He's going to try to help us fight for Europe. And then he's like, psych, I'm out of here. I'm going to Manchester United. And everyone was like, ouch.
Yeah.
That's not great.
No. Yeah. That one burned a little. But again, like I said, common sense told me that's what would happen. I was hopeful, you know, but anyway, no more clouds on a sunny day, Jacob. No more.
Moving forward.
So, more good news. This bit of good news, all of North America is affected by it, which is amazing, which essentially means that's just good for Everton as a whole. But new Hummel, North American supporter group branded merchandise. Okay. The website is www.soccer.com/Everton. And it's one of those slashes that's leaning to the right. It's leaning right. Some call that a forward slash. I've heard people not call that. I've heard people call it a backward slash. That's why I'm saying it's leaning to the right to prevent confusion. Anyway, now that I've wasted all that time. So it's really cool because I've actually looked up, you know, my supporters group, which would be Carolina Toffees. I've looked up the merchandise that's on there, and there's Hummel branded stuff on there, which is so rad. Okay. And in addition to that, so it's very specific. It's bringing Everton into your community, unifying your community, which is cool. But additionally, 10% of all worldwide sales will be donated to Everton in the community. And Hummel North America will also donate $1 to Everton in the community for every item sold up to a maximum of like $1,000, I think. But it's very, yeah, Hummel is bringing the club to you. You know what I mean? So it's sort of, I don't know. It's crazy to see Carolina Toffees Hummel stuff, you know, love it. Very cool. And I'm sure, I mean, you could Cincy Toffees. I'm sure that stuff would be on there, right?
Oh yeah. Yep. Yep. They've got their own, we've got our own Hummel branded Everton gear now. And you know, this is pretty crazy because nothing like this has ever been done before for supporter groups in the United States of America. Which is unbelievable. I think that just goes to show, you know, I think Everton probably had a hand in this, like, hey, you know, they've been trying to get better at their American outreach, which right. has been lacking for a long time. And I think the survey that the Chicago Toffees, what was his name?
Tony.
Tony. I think, you know, his survey, I think that might have had something to do with this. And then for Hummel to be willing to do this, that's unbelievable. You know, this has been such a night and day difference between having Umbro and having Hummel, and like Hummel is fun and they want to engage with the fans and they're always tweeting every weekend and like, Umbro, you never got anything. You never got anything out of Umbro, and their kits were just starting to get pretty terrible towards the end. And, you know, you know, it's obviously the first year with Hummel, and they nailed it with their first three kits, and now they're producing, you know, merchandise for all the supporter groups across the United States. It's just, it's unbelievable. Like, I never thought this would happen as a supporter of this club. So, you know, to be able to get my own city, you know, with as an Everton logo with official Hummel gear, that's amazing. I will buy all of that I can. And to know that some of that money is going back into the community, to the EI, you know, Everton in the community, like, double win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was, I this was a surprise, you know, and all those supporters groups and people with supporters groups kept dropping little hints like, exciting stuff coming soon. It's coming. Just get ready. And I was just like, stop teasing me. Stop teasing.
The eyeball emoji everywhere.
So many eyeballs, man. And but it was cool. It was a very exciting. And you're right. You know, it feels like it feels like the club and Hummel and you know, the fan forum. You know, it seems like a lot. There's work happening, and it's genuine exchange of ideas, and they're genuinely trying to reach out to American fans, you know, North American fans, actually. It's not just American, you know, you got some Canadians in there. Yeah. So it's really, I don't know. I was just kind of touched by it, if I'm honest. It was a touching thing. The fact that that was happening. And, you know, for the longest time, people have said, you know, it's what you were saying earlier, you know, tapping into the American, you know, fan base, making sure they're reaching out and doing that. And that's exactly what's happening. When I see these beautiful things, like on Twitter, with all the supporters group heads and people in these big meetings on like Zoom, they're taking a screenshot, and you're sitting there and you see some faces you recognize, and they're all just sitting there talking about plans for Everton supporters groups and for the club moving forward. It's just, it's exciting. It just matches all the other awesome stuff that the club's got going on right now. It's just like, I feel spoiled for a hot second here. You know what I mean? So I don't know if anybody's going to be able to tolerate, by the way, all this positive energy from us. Maybe we need to say something like negative. Something
I can bring negative. It down if you want.
Are you going to be negative Nigel? Are you going
to
be a?
I don't know. I wasn't planning on it, but like if we need to bring it down a little bit, like I'm sure I could find something. In fact, I got something loaded. Like if we need it.
Oh, you've prepped for negativity just in case to balance
no, no,
it out.
No, not at all. But like I can pull it off the top of my head without any problems.
You're like, Yarmolenko, remember that?
Yes, remember I when do. They lost? Remember when they drew Newcastle 2-0 or 2-2 after being up 2-0 in the 93rd minute with 4 minutes of stoppage time?
Too soon, Jacob. Too soon.
It was supposed to be such a good moment because it was Moise Keane's first goal. It was great.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Now that we've balanced that out, that's well done. Well done. Anyway, so just one more time, just to hammer it home, soccer.com is where you can find the Hummel supporter group branded merchandise, North American Toffees. It's just, yeah. Check this out. There's a lot of really good stuff. So soccer.com, leaning to the right /Everton. Yes. Okay. And I checked it out right before I came on, so I know it's right. Just so. Up to date. All right. So I think we've given that. Fingers crossed. Tony, I hope that was.
Two thumbs up.
You're excited. Okay.
It's a big step, Tony.
Yeah. Yes. Very cool.
Shout out to Tony.
Always shouts out to Tony, man. All right, moving on. Oh, that's an awful throw. Forget that. There, much better, Jerry. Gosh, it's like a foul ball. It's awful. All right, so the Derby happened. For those of you, we've already spoiled this. So if you haven't watched it by now.
Look, man, if you're an Everton supporter and you don't know what the score is or what happened this past weekend, you've clearly been living under a rock.
Frozen caveman. Frozen cave person, right? Yeah. It was a healthy 2-0 win at Anfield.
Doesn't that just make you giddy saying that? Yeah. Like, every time you say it, you're just like, we won at Anfield.
Presumably, our players have almost finished wiping the, scrubbing the stench off of them from having to be there. But hopefully, they'll still be feeling the good vibes from Duncan Ferguson kisses. Because apparently that happened a lot at the end of that game. Well earned, by the way.
A lot.
So much big man hugs. Let's start with the early goal by Richarlison, and more specifically, the assist by James as well. I was in the kitchen prepping to drive an hour with my family, getting a bunch of stuff ready, and then I hear my son, oh my God, it's a goal. And yeah, so that happened like that. Insanity, right before we left. Took me by surprise, a killer finish by Richarlison. But the assist by James was just, oh my God, it was beautiful, man. That's probably our best highlight attacking wise of the day. Pretty solid stuff. So who's your, considering that play, but there's a lot going on defensively. If you had to pick a man of the match, are you thinking something defensive or attacking?
Honestly, this is a really hard one to pick. You could go with Jordan Pickford, who was outstanding in the goal. Go with Michael Keane, who was voted man of the match and was tweeted out as man of the match by Everton's Twitter page. I think you could go offensively. I think Richarlison was a handful for the Liverpool defense. Tom Davies was all over the place, and he hit that outlook pass to Richarlison to send him on his way, and who found Dominic Calvert-Lewin. I mean, there's so a lot of good options. It was so good. That was such a lethal counterattack. And it just kind of goes to show what this team can do when Richarlison and Dominic Calvert-Lewin are both on the pitch and they're both in space. Like if you have both of those guys in space running at defenders, it's going to be a problem because either A, they're not going to run with Dominic Calvert-Lewin, or they're not going to be fast enough to keep up with Dominic Calvert-Lewin, or B, Richarlison's going to be skillful enough to find the right pass to put him in, right? Or vice versa. But anyway, man of the match shout. I think I'm going to go with Jordan Pickford. He was just outstanding. He was so confident and he was so strong the entire match. That save on the outside of the boot volley from Jordan Henderson on the edge of the penalty on the edge of the box was outstanding. I don't think that save got enough fanfare. Agreed. Lee Dixon and Arlo Light kind of hit on how good of a save it was, but I just, if it was Allison on the other end making that save, it would have gone on about it for 20 minutes, right? Yep. But he was outstanding, and his distribution was actually on point. I think the wind kind of helped him out with that, but his distribution was actually really, really, really good on Saturday, and he put everything into a couple of really good attacking opportunities. So my man in the match out, close second goes to Zombies because, he made the greatest midfielder in the world look like, a child. Talking about you, Thiago.
Yeah, idea balls. Man, he's a master of idea balls. So... I hate to sit there and do that because, you know, he
the
is
the greatest midfielder in the world.
He is a very skilled player. I don't want to sit there and just totally, but some perspective is needed. Yes. Yes. So, so also I want to give, for Pickford, the save he made on Mo Salah in the second half. Did you notice that one?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a 1v1 and it was coming in on our left flank. So Salah was coming on the right. Great save.
Yep.
But did you notice by any chance his movement with his legs? It was the exact same thing he did for that save that he did for that thing that happened the first time we played them. Same movement with the legs, except
Wait,
this
what
time.
What happened? I haven't heard anything about it. What happened?
No one's ever talked about it.
No, nobody said anything about it. So, like, no idea what you're talking about.
And if only the player involved would have been at the game trying to act like he was some sort of tough guy. No, never mind. Nope. Not going to go there. Stopping. But it was the exact same. It
I
was
heard
the exact
he died same. Anyway.
I don't even know where to go. Where do you go? Well, to be honest with you, a lot of people were tweeting that, so it's a thing. But it was the exact same motion with his feet.
Yeah.
And I think the difference is
it
I
was.
Think he didn't lose track of where the ball was on this one, and the player was farther away. But it was the exact same. He did the same leg motion, you know? And so it wasn't one of those things where, I don't know. It was one of those things where I feel like more people should have mentioned that. Somebody like I noticed it. And then I saw someone on Twitter mention it and I was like, I'll like that. I don't know who it was. I was like, I like that because I noticed it, you know? So anybody who's saying like that was an on purpose kind of thing, that's just the way he moves his legs on those up close saves on that side, period. You know? So, that was solved, which was good too. Killer save, just a really killer
right.
save. So, in a game, in a match where most people played well, did anybody struggle?
You know, if I had to pick, if you're asking me to pick somebody, I wouldn't say Andre Gomes struggled, but he was probably the worst out of the bunch. He was reckless. His yellow card was deserved, I think, because, you know, he had pulled somebody back on a breakaway like 20 minutes before he picked up that yellow card.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he kicked out – I think he kicked out Thiago when he was in the midfield or something, and that's when he picked up his yellow. And that's when everyone kind of, like, held their breath. They're like, oh, man, we have to get Andre Gomes off because he will pick up another yellow card in this match. He made you more nervous more than anyone else in the team did. Obviously Ben Godfrey had another outstanding match. He wasn't bad. You know what? Actually, I'm going to go with Decore. You know, I know Andre Gomes got taken off, but I'm actually going to go with Decore. He gave the ball away. But I think the last I was counting, I think he had given the ball away needlessly in like the middle of the pack 6 times, which when you're playing against Liverpool, you can't do that because most of the time they will punish you. So I'm actually going to go with Decore. He had a rough one.
That's who I wrote down as being someone. And I hesitate. I always hesitate to use the word struggled because I feel like it sort of nullifies any good things they did. It comes across as though you're saying, hey, they didn't do anything right, which is not true. But my issue was exactly what you're saying, Jake, is the fact that he gave the ball away so much. You know, I was talking to Kieran, the guy at my son's game, you know, he's a dad of a, you know, young player. And he said, you know, Decore didn't have his best game. And I was like, I agree. You know, it was just a lot. So I think it's not just us. I think a lot of other people noticed. But I want to be clear. That's like one of my favorite players this season.
Yeah.
All right. Like he's.
Yeah. No. It's not disparaging against him. He just can't give the ball away. against Liverpool. And outside of that, he was fine. You know, defensively, he was stout. He was making runs forward like he always does. You know, just gave the ball away too much.
Yeah. And there were times where I was just kind of like, oh, really? You know, it was a lot of those where I felt like a little more care. And it could be he was just too amped up. That happens. You get too amped up. You don't have a cool enough ahead. It happens. Yeah. But again, Decore struggling is, you know, it's not like it was an awful game, you know, from him. So that lineup / formation, you didn't have much confidence in it in the beginning. I got to be honest, I backed Carlo the whole way. No, I was like you. I genuinely was worried because I feel like we don't normally, when we start like that, we don't normally start with a lot of energy. I was not expecting us to, come out like that. I didn't have as much confidence either. And so it's one of those things where, you know, sometimes we don't get it right. Hey, it's really, okay. I will say Jake, it's really funny. The lag on here, sometimes I'll say something and I'll wait for your reaction and it'll be frozen and you'll be like this. It's like, it's genuinely funny. I'm like, oh hell, Jake got pissed about something. Oh no, there he's smiling. It's the internet. Got it. So it keeps getting me. Anyway, keep talking, dude. So, I'm sorry.
Something that you I saw that they did at the very onset that I don't think I've seen them do all season long was pressure aggressively. They were pressing. And I really don't think Liverpool's expecting that at all. You know, the press was on from the get-go. The very first ball came in from Godfrey, and it gets pushed out for a corner kick. 20 seconds. Had Liverpool on the back foot from the very onset of the match, which how often does that happen when Everton is playing Liverpool? You know, Liverpool couldn't get the ball out of their own half, and Doucouré kept heading it back. Finally, he's able to get it to James, who brings it down on his left foot brilliantly and then slides it into Richarlison. So, they usually work like that. But the pressing that Everton did made a difference. It made a big difference. And I'd like to see them do more of that pressing if they're going to be playing in a formation like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the thing that really got me was Liverpool's lack of clear shots on goal. I felt like we did a solid job of organizing defensively and making sure they didn't have a lot of clear shots on goal. And when they did, Pickford did the thing that a number one keeper is supposed to do, bail you out. You know, when you have a misstep, your keeper is supposed to be the guy you can go, are you gonna bail us out? You know what I mean? And he did exactly what he was supposed to do. That was number one behavior, you know, and cool-headed behavior. But, yeah, man, that was – I feel like that's just the team defensive, like, setup. I love the idea of, you know, just they would possess the ball but just couldn't crack in. You know, we were covering. It was nice. It was comforting. And it gave me confidence in every single defensive player that was on the field at that time. You know, so that was nice. So as far as the penalty goes, any thoughts on that?
I mean, I don't really understand people who are trying to argue that it wasn't a penalty anywhere on the internet. It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, you can be upset about your team giving away a dumb penalty, but like, honestly, it wasn't a dumb penalty because if he doesn't trip Dominic Calvert-Lewin, he's in on goal and it's 2-0 anyway. So, it's actually, I mean, like, if you want to give some credit to Trent Alexander-Arnold, he did the right thing. Like, in that situation, like, you can't just let him have a free shot on goal, right? So, like, if anything, like, I don't understand. Like, they took it the wrong way, like, blaming the ref. Like, oh, that's not a pen. You know, this, that, and the next thing. Calvert-Lewin ran into him. And he might have run into him, but he was regaining his balance. And then Alexander-Arnold sticks his leg out and trips him. And it's like, well, and then at that point, it's got to be a penalty. So,
well, also one of the reasons he ran into him is Alexander-Arnold knows he's there and raises up higher. I mean, he clearly notices that Calvert-Lewin's right there and is trying to get a piece of him. Like, it's there, you know. There's a couple of reasons why you could say there's more than one point of contact. You know.
Yeah.
And. So, I don't know, man. I agree. I think that was a penalty. And if we're going, if I'm the ref, I'm not really sure that I feel like it warrants a red card. But if I'm going according to the rules.
Yeah, according to the rules, it's a red card.
Supposed to be a red, man. The whole time when I saw that happening, I was looking at that guy's phone. And I was like, Miguel, how is that not a red? Isn't that supposed to be a red when that happens? You know?
Yeah.
I didn't get it.
Yeah, the boys on the American Toffees podcast read the rule as it's written in the rule book. Mm-hmm. And as they're reading it, I'm like, well, that's clear cut. What Alexander Arnold did is a penalty and it's a red card. Mm-hmm. So because I think the rule states something along the lines of if it's a penalty and it's a foul on a clear goal-scoring opportunity, it has to be a red card. Mm-hmm. So in those circumstances, I don't understand how it's not. I'm not going to get too upset about it. It is what it is. Water under the bridge. No big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good job by Sigurdsson. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Excellent job by him.
Well placed.
Well done.
Very well placed. It was nice.
Yeah, it was perfect. And guess is right, and he puts it in the corner. You know, Allison can't get to it.
I got to be honest. That approach, that staggered like approach, drives me nuts every time. It's like I just wish, you know, just step up and kick the darn thing. It gives me more gray hairs, man. I'm just like, just put it down. Let's, you know, it's just that weird little, and it's strategy, I know. And he's trying to figure out where to put it. He's trying, there's a few things happening there. Like, I get it. But when they miss it, it just looks so dumb. It just looks, it makes me more angry than if you just placed it and missed. It just, but you know what? He made it, so meh. But I would have been so angry.
Oh man, the fume on Everton Twitter would have been immense.
So, any other thoughts on the Derby, man?
Let's win both of them next year.
Very fine with Goodison, that.
Like,
yeah.
With a packed house, hopefully.
Yes, with some people there.
It's looking that way.
Yeah.
It's looking that way, you know. They're saying full capacity by the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Football with fans again is going to be the greatest thing to ever happen.
We took it for granted. We took it for granted for way too long.
We did. We really did. We really did, and it just – every time I see an empty – because the thing that really sucks about that Derby is Sigurdsson would have sunk that penalty right in front of the Everton fans.
Yep.
Richarlison would have scored his goal in front of the cop, done the pigeon dance in front of the cop. in front of a packed house, and then Sick would have sung in front of the Everton fans. Like, you can't write it any better than that. And, you know, it just would have been sucks. Boiling.
That's okay. It would
have been so excellent.
It's going ahead, breaking that seal next year. You know, it's open.
There Do it go. Again.
Yeah. And I loved, Do it again. I loved hearing the, I listened to the Rio Ferdinand podcast. Like, it's a YouTube video as well, where he had Holgate and Godfrey on. And I think other people have talked about this on Twitter, but when Godfrey's talking about giving them no respect, it's the way to approach it. Yep. So anyway, just that an extra player who's going to bring that kind of brain, that mentality, dude.
He's also going to bring Rax Aarons in the summertime.
We'll see. We may talk about that in our mailbag.
Call up your best mate.
All right. So 2-0 win at Anfield felt like 100-0. Just saying. All right. Yeah. Dos a cero. That's it on the Derby review. We're going to move on. No, that can't happen. That's better. So Southampton preview, March 1st, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which means I'm going to be at work and I have to somehow put that on my TV and or my monitor at work and listen to the game. So that's going to be an adventure. But and it's a in the past, this is one of those games after some really good vibes that tends to slow the good vibes. So, going to be positive. Acknowledging the fact that, yes, in the past that's happened, but not this time. No. Southampton right now are 8-6-11. They're 14th in the table with 30 points. Their previous three matches, 3-0 loss to Leeds, 1-1 draw with Chelsea, 2-1 loss to Wolves. Their last win was in the FA Cup, February 11th, versus Wolves. But their last win in the Premier League was a 1-0 win over the red side, January 4th. You know, winning.
I think it was January 4th. Yeah.
Yeah, winning 2-0 against them is just not for everybody. You know what I mean? What do you do?
Nope.
So.
Not for everyone.
Basically, they're not having a good run right now. Southampton are not playing their best football right now. Possible lineup. And then we can talk about their danger men, the people you're worried about. McCarthy, Bednarik, Vestergaard, Salisu, and Bertrand in the back. James Ward-Prowse, Oriol Romeu in the middle. Armstrong and Minamino, Che Adams, and the orc personified Danny Ings. Danger Man, who are you worried about on that Southampton squad?
In the reverse fixture, he really tore Everton apart, and Prowse, I think, is a guy that you have to be very, very aware of. Another guy who really caused Everton fit, I didn't really see it coming, was Kyle Walker-Peters. I don't know if he's going to play, but if he is going to play, I was going to say, because he was really a handful the last time, and he was diving all over the place. And if you remember, he's the one that Lucas Dean stepped on and, you know, got sent off for it, which was ridiculous. So, but if you're going to ask me for one guy, it's going to be James Ward-Prowse. You cannot, under any circumstances, give away free kicks 25 yards near the goal. Like,
no.
you're going to have to be, your defenders are going to have to be extra careful when they get close to the box, you know, because mm-hmm. he's going to, those players are going to be looking to go down and getting a free kick. You know, mm-hmm. there's going to be diving that's going to happen. And there's, you know, obviously there's going to be legitimate fouls too, but like you have to tell your defenders and your midfielders, we have to stay out of fouls in this area mm-hmm. because he will hurt you in this area. So James yeah. Ward-Prowse is my guy. Obviously the second guy you got to worry about is Danny Ings. Like he's going to be a menace. He's going to be annoying. Yep. He's going to score some scrappy goal that's going to piss you off.
He tends to do that. Yeah. Yeah. Ings right now has 8 goals in the Prem this season. Ward-Prowse has 5 goals and 5 assists. Che Adams actually has 4 goals and 4 assists. These are players that produce for him, you know. And the guy they signed on loan, Minamino, he's had a goal or two. Yep. So these are players that are worth keeping an eye on. Ward-Prowse has had my eye for a long time, man. Him and Ings though are the two that stand out. You nailed the main two for me. Ward-Prowse, I remember, gosh, when I first started watching, you know, Southampton games, I was like, that kid can put a ball in, can he? Like his set playability is ridiculous. It's really sound. And Ings is just, you know, he's like a angry like warthog. You know what I mean?
You know what I mean? He just gives you a headache. He gets into these dangerous positions all the time, and then he's, you know, he's just going to get a goal. He's going to get up. He's a poacher. Like, he's not going to create a bunch of his own goals, but he is a poacher. You give him an opportunity, and he's going to put it in the back of the net.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he's – poacher is the best word, you know, scrappy. He finds a way, knows where to be. He gets under your skin.
You laid out a nightmare scenario for me, by the way, that I just thought about in my head, where Takumi Minamino scores a brace and Southampton win 2-0. And I just put my hands on my head and I'm just like, last weekend meant nothing. It just meant nothing. They literally just reached into Southampton and got their revenge. Like you just laid out a nightmare scenario in my head.
And there's your dose of negativity balanced out by Jake there, you know, just balancing out the positives of this episode.
I would be physically ill if that happened.
It would. Yeah. It's a bad one. And I'm a little upset that you said it out loud, but you know, hey, it's okay.
Yeah. I have now spoken it into existence, which means Everton Twitter is going to be all over me if it happens.
Ah, man, they don't hold grudges. What do you mean?
No, Everton Twitter, no. Minamino, no Minamino on Monday, no.
No, Minamino,
Minamino, no.
Yes. So, by the way, I will say this next topic is probably the most infuriating thing lately. Trying to pick our lineup, trying to guess our lineup is absolutely.
You got a dartboard?
It'd be more accurate.
Yeah, you got a dartboard and some darts that I can throw at it with every name that could possibly start this weekend.
I don't know where it's going to go. You never know who he's going to cycle in. You know, is Alan going to start? Is he going to play him at all? You know, or is he going to wait till we need him? You know, what the crap is going on with Alan? I don't know. I mean, I've written him down to start just because I feel like Alan seems like the kind of player that would need to start from the beginning of the game rather than come in later to kind of grow into it. But I don't know, man. I mean, I do think Pickford's going to start again. Yep. You know, who's your back four?
I would go with, I mean, I think you have to go with the same four that started on Saturday. Mm-hmm. I think the exact same back four that we had, you know, Godfrey, Keane, Holgate, Coleman. I think that's solid. Mm-hmm. Lucas Dean out on the left wing, left mid player. I think that's a really good spot for him, honestly. If you could, honestly, though, I mean, if you could, because you've got some cover with Godfrey. Nielsen Nkunku is going to be that guy soon, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. if you wanted to, I mean, you could switch it up to a 4-4-2 and, like, play Dina and Nielsen Nkunku in a 4-4-2. I mean, I'm not saying that's what they would do against Southampton. In fact, I'm almost certain they wouldn't. Right. But I think you have to go with the same back four, right? Godfrey, Holgate, Coleman, and Keane. Right, mm-hmm. Dean playing left wing. I would play Alon and Decore as midfielders with Tom Davies sitting in behind them, right in front of the back four. With I'd say Alex Iwobi out on the right wing, and then you know send Richie up front.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So I did.
DCL up front.
Okay.
I meant to, but Richie's got to be in there somewhere too. So I don't know. I lost count of how many people I said, so I kind of screwed that up.
Yeah. You said, it's about 13, but I stopped counting after you said Besic and Martina. basically you kind of got the numbers a little off once you started going with,
yeah.
Like just the front line though, really. Cause you said the middle line, you know, with Decore, Alan and Davies, which are the three that I have written down. And you had all the same defenders as I did. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Holgate in there in one way or another. Wouldn't shock me at all for that to happen. Because that was the thing. When we had Holgate matching up against Sadio Mane looked really good.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah.
That's something we didn't mention, by the way. We should have mentioned it. It's a little late, but freaking Holgate on him looked awesome. So,
especially when he's been like in some rough form recently.
Yeah.
You know, it was nice to see him kind of come out and have like a really good game.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and so you don't think James starts?
Yeah, see, that's the tough part about this, right? Because if you're going to start Alex Iwobi, you can't really start James Rodriguez.
And if you do start both of those, you don't start Richarlison. So,
yeah.
It's tough. And right now I would start Richarlison, like you said, because he's got a little goal streak going. Let him ride it. You know,
he seems to have come alive. He seems to have come back to Richarlison form. That finish that he had on Saturday was like peak Richarlison. That's like a signature. He get it first time and it was pinpoint into the corner. Nothing mm-hmm. the keeper could do about it. So I think he's finally found his form. So sitting him and like, I think rotating James out more frequently isn't the end mm-hmm. of the world for this side. I think obviously the team is better with him in there, but I think you can get away with rotating him a bit more.
Well, I look at that back line of Bednarik, who I don't really associate with being a right back, by the way. Vestergaard, who is very tall. Salisu and Bertrand. Yeah. I'm trying to figure out if we adjust based on the quickness of that back line or lack thereof.
There's no speed at all. There's no pace in that back line.
I mean, Ryan Bertrand for the most part, but
Ryan Bertrand outside of him, like you're looking at Vestergaard, who is not very quick. Benarek, he's not very quick.
I was just trying to see if that would affect anything. But Southampton is a team that does tend to put numbers forward and attack. They usually have no issues with attacking, which makes me wonder if this is one of those where we absorb some of their pressure and kind of, you know, use that and then counter the way we've done so many times. I feel like sometimes we're at our strongest when we're playing like that. You know what I mean? So if that's the case, which one works better in that sort of role, Hummus or Iwobi? Iwobi, I always feel like, is great for dribbling, cracking through the line. But Hummus, for me, is like slicing through the lines a little. So I would almost wonder if Hummus would be the one to go with. You know what I mean?
I think it's a good problem to have.
Oh, it's such a good problem.
In this scenario, playing against a struggling Southampton side, obviously James was I'm not going to say he was roughed up again on Saturday, but he certainly was.
That's a point.
The target of some physical challenges. And, you know, it's becoming a theme week in and week out with James Rodriguez. And I'm not saying that he needs to have a break against Southampton, because the guys have been off for over a week at that point, you know. So I think I could be talked into starting James Rodriguez, but I think it is good to start Alex Iwobi. Like, I think it is good to keep having him start every couple matches or so. And if he's not effective, you can bring him off at halftime and sub James Rodriguez in, because typically we usually keep it even keel in the first half at home, right? It's usually 0-0 going into the break, and then that's when things fall apart in the second half. So I personally would start Alex Iwobi this weekend, and if you can, give James Rodriguez the week off and then come back and start him in the next match.
I think there's logic there. I do. So good stuff. What's going to happen score-wise?
I'm not going to predict a loss because but I also don't feel comfortable predicting a win because they haven't won there since I think like December or something at Goodison. So I don't think Southampton are going to have enough firepower to win this match, because they have been on a woeful goal scoring drought, essentially. I mean, I think that when I was watching their match this past weekend, or somebody tweeted about it, I don't remember, I saw it somewhere, they have scored like, since they beat Liverpool, they've scored like four or five goals. It's been absolutely abysmal, but I think their offense will come back to life this Monday. I'm going to put it down as 2-2 draw at Goodison.
It's very close to what I picked, but I'm going to be bold. I'm picking a hard-fought 3-2 Everton win. I think a little bit of the emotional letdown may happen. I can see it. It's been an emotional little ride, but I do think that positive mojo is going to – and I think Southampton's affected by some negativity right now. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Right now, Everton seems all about like breaking through some of that, like, well, we haven't done that for a while. Let's do it. You know what I mean? So I'm going to say 3-2 Everton. I don't know how comfortable I am picking it, but it's happening.
I can't really disagree with you. I mean, like these kind of Derby wins can be a win that can kind of galvanize a squad. You know, I think there's 13 matches left in the campaign. I mean, this is a kind of win that can carry you for at least a couple matches.
And at some point we have to start winning the daggone ones we're supposed to, right?
At home.
You know, getting the
losing
points
at Goodison Park.
That's at some point. Like I heard Holgate was on that podcast. He was like, yeah, we keep giving up points to teams we should be beating.
Yeah, you know? Newcastle. We're looking at you.
Fulham. Yeah, sorry, the Fulham game really.
The only reason Newcastle, Fulham was awful. They completely beat us off our own pitch, made us look like we were the relegation side, right?
Yeah.
But you know, the only reason Newcastle aren't in a relegation battle with Fulham right now is because they got 6 points off of Everton. How annoying is that, right?
All right, Jake. Let us never speak of it again.
Newcastle is going to haunt my nightmares for the rest of my life. They just continuously keep popping up and beating us in the most ridiculous ways and, you know, draw us. I'm sick of Newcastle United.
You know what, though? If they get relegated, we don't have to worry about it for a while. No worries. That could happen. Just saying.
Yeah, that's right. We'll be playing in Europe, and they'll be playing, you know, away days at Millwall.
Yeesh. Sorry. I said flashbacks to when we played Millwall. Yeah. All right. So, are we done?
The death
Southampton
of Marcus
preview?
Silva. Yes. Yes. Cool.
It is super confusing with all the lag right now. I can't tell when you've spoken.
Moving on. Questions?
Yes. All right. So we have a lot of mailbag stuff. A lot of it. So first one for Jacob. All right. Let me see if I can identify exactly who it was that asked. I believe it was someone named, let's see here, hold on, Alfie Lloyd on Twitter. I want to make sure I gave it credit. What three music bands or performers should play at a celebratory opening concert at the new Everton Stadium? Bramley Moore.
I asked, what was really funny about this question is I asked a similar question on Ask Reddit, like, not specifically at Bramley Moordock, but like I asked, you know, what three bands would you want to see in a lineup to celebrate COVID finally being over? I will tweak this a little bit just to try to get it some more Liverpool flair. Is this like me personally? Three bands I would want to see open up.
Yeah, what three Bramley music acts should be the first ones to perform at Bramley Moore?
Okay,
celebration.
I'd like to see. I want to go with like some indie rock because I feel like that kind of mm-hmm. goes with the vibe of Everton a little bit, right? So first, I would like to see the Arctic Monkeys. I think that'd be a good one. Because, you know,
agreed.
Leighton Baines is good mates with the Arctic Monkeys. So that's a good one. Red Rum Club would be another one. Shout out to Jeff Wallner,
yep.
who, you know, turned me on to the Red Rum Club. And their drummer is a blue, the only blue in the entire band. So he partied hard, I'm sure, this past weekend.
Nice.
Gave it to the rest of his bandmates. And then this last one is just for me personally because I love them and they're my favorite band is Bad Flower to headline the whole thing and send us off into a new era of greatness at Bramley Moordock.
Okay. And I will add just because they're crazy Evertonians, I'm going to have to, and I don't know, I think it would be a very bizarre show, but very – I'm going to throw Camel Fat in there just because huge Evertonians.
What a show that would be.
That would be – I would be way too old for it. I guarantee you. But it would be crazy. Just saying. And, yeah. So, anyway. So, very cool. Next. Okay. This one is for me. Jerry, what's your favorite ice cream topping?
I saw that one on Twitter.
Oh,
Been hanging on the edge of my seat all day for this
one. I was like, do I have like a funny, goofy? And I'm like, no. There's nothing. I can't sit there and go, more ice cream. You know, I don't know that there's a witty, clever way around this one. So, you know what? I think I'm going to say like crunched up like Reese's Pieces. Reese's Pieces. I got started with Reese's Pieces when I was little because of the movie E.T.
Yeah.
And now yeah. I'm still a Reese's Pieces fanatic. So yeah, crushed up. I thought about like caramel, you know, like those caramel sundaes from McDonald's. I grew up, that was my favorite thing. But you know what? The practicality of caramel on top, it's just, it's really weird. You know what I mean? Like it's just the texture is very strange. So there's a serious answer to what was probably a jokey question. Hey, all right. Now another one, more serious. And I'll, you know, Captain Pasty from, I guess this is Reddit, asks, is top four actually possible? This shouldn't take long to discuss, by the way. This should be a quick one. Jake, top four actually possible?
I don't see why not. I mean, we're looking at 13 games left. West Ham currently hold the fourth spot with, let's see, how many points does West Ham have? I don't have it off the top of my head because I was not prepared for this because I am an amateur.
Chelsea are sitting like they have 43 points and, you know, they're just ahead.
West Ham have 45.
Yeah.
So we have one game in hand on West Ham, who have five more points than we do. We have more wins than Liverpool do with one game in hand on them. Chelsea are – now, I think Chelsea are our main rivals for top four at this point in the season. I think – okay, so sorry. Chelsea and Liverpool are – because I think legitimately Liverpool are still probably in the hunt for top four. I think they're still probably legitimate – you know, challengers for the top four. I am a big, you know, backer of West Ham and what they've done this season. In fact, I wrote about West Ham and the job that they've done this season. They've really impressed me. David Moyes has brought in a couple of really key signings and done an excellent job with that squad, but I think eventually they will taper off a bit once they hit a tough run of teams. I know they play Manchester City this weekend, so, you know, they already lost to Liverpool, I think, 2 weekends ago. So, long story short, yes, top four, definitely still a possibility.
Yeah, I have to just flat out say yes. It is definitely possible. You know what I mean? Like, look at the math. Just look at the math and the fact that we are brutally unpredictable. We have no idea what we're going to do. So at the moment, it's totally possible. You know, we just won at Anfield. Top four can happen. It can. I mean, at the beginning of the season, I, the idiot, the naive stars in my eyes, said we'd get fourth. Okay? It's still possible, which is crazy. That's awesome. It's a hell of a season already. So, yeah. Yes. I just said yes.
Funny. The funny thing is I picked Everton to finish seventh, and right now I am bang on my prediction. But I don't want to be. Get higher in the table.
Yeah. Okay. Next question. This one is from someone who has actually given us questions before. Bowsy Toffee Tits. Yeah. That's a good one. Is Max Aarons actually worth the money? His stats for this season aren't exactly jaw-dropping. Yes, he's young, rapid, and exciting, but in product and tackling stats are pretty poor. Suppose there's a lot of time for him to develop. So the question there is Max Aarons actually worth the money?
The figure I saw floating around was Norwich want £35 million, right? About that, £30 to £35 million.
Around, yeah.
You know, I think looking at the stats is the wrong way to go about it, because I'm sure if you looked at Ben Godfrey's stats last year, he probably didn't have very good stats in Norwich City. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I had to guess, because that was a pretty terrible defense that they had there. Obviously, it was the worst in the division, and they got relegated. So that's my problem with looking at stats for a good player on a bad team, because it can kind of skew it a little bit and make them look like maybe they aren't as good as they actually are. Mm-hmm. But to answer your question, £35 million, that's a lot of money. That's if you're believing what you've been told, which is Mushiri is going to, you know, push £100 million, that's a quarter of it, more than a quarter of it gone on one player. Mm-hmm. And I think Max Aarons is a really good player, and I think he's going to be either a Premier League player or he's going to be signed by Bayern Munich in the summertime. So he's obviously a very good player. But £35 million, that's really rich. If brands can talk it down to about £20 million, I'm all there. Like, I am all there. I wouldn't pay any more than probably 25 for Max Aarons.
I was thinking 25 as well. I agree. It's almost like I'm cool if it's a, I mean, if it's a Godfrey like fee, you know what I mean? Like, that's, to me, like, that's kind of, they've come for you, Jake.
They found me.
I don't know how, but they found me. Run for it, Marty. Yeah, that's me. Back to the Future. All right, so.
That's a really good Doc impersonation by you, man. Like, I gotta say,
it comes out every once in a while. I forget I do it. is he actually worth that huge number? I hesitate for that. I think if they hold us to that, we find a different target. Period. We've done that before. So, you know, but we are talking about a player. I think he actually wants to come to us. I think he's excited. I think Godfrey is a friend of his, and I think he sees the project happening. He sees what's happening. It's exciting. Carlo Ancelotti's our manager. What? You know what I mean? So there's a lot of really exciting stuff happening at this club right now, and I think he wants to be a part of it. And I think we're not going to have to pay that 35. It wouldn't surprise me if it ends up being like 28 if we end up signing him.
No,
it wouldn't surprise me. I wouldn't be completely against it. But yeah, I agree. I think it's a merging together. I always say, like, the merging together of stats and eyeball test. Merge those two together. You know, how does someone just look when you, how is your vibe like when you watch them? Do they give the ball away a lot? Are they beat on the dribble a lot? How many final balls are they putting in? How accurate are they? You know, do they take people on? How good is their communication? How many brain farts do they have a game? There's a lot of stuff. You know that just by watching, you know, you can tell, you know, so match that with the stats, merge them together somewhere in the middle. Some kind of truth emerges, which is cool. So, yeah, short answer.
Yeah.
Short answer is no when it comes to the figures being bandied about. Yes, if you're paying a little less. And we know Marcel Brands gets the price he wants. You know? He just wants to make honest
money. Well, and I think one thing I want to add on to this is Bayern Munich don't try to sign bad players or mediocre players. They just don't do it.
Yeah.
Okay. Interested in Max Aarons. Obviously, Max Aarons has something that has stood out to the scouts at Bayern Munich. So
mm-hmm.
Who am I going to believe? Like, I'm not saying, like, you know, this person on Twitter is, you know, wrong for questioning maybe his stats, because, you know, they probably aren't the best, but, like, you know, I'm gonna stick with what Bayern Munich think is a good player.
Hey, stats are part of it.
That's the best team in the world.
Yeah, no, I mean, stats are part of it, you know, which is, you know, that's part of how you judge a player, right? And to be fair to Mr. or Mrs. Toffee Tits, they say, suppose there's a lot of time for him to develop, which there is. There is a lot of time.
There is. Yeah.
And also, it's all about the piece you want to put in your system, right? That's how are they going to fit in with all, you know. So, anyway. So, we need to move on, but thank you for the question, Bowsy Toffee Tits. 9Yoshi5, I just had to say it one more time. 9Yoshi5 asks, what's your estimated transfer budget for this summer?
I think that $100 million is about all you're going to get, right? It might even be less than that. And it also depends on how many players you're going to sell and for how much money you're going to sell them for, right? True. Because if you sell John Joe Kenny, right, you sell Moise Keane. If Moise Keane gets you 60 million pounds, that's 60 million pounds you get to reinvest into the squad, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you sell Moise Keane and you sell, let's say they sell Gylfi Sigurdsson to an MLS club this summer, right? That's probably, you're probably looking at 5 million pounds or so, maybe less, probably maybe two and a half to five, anywhere between like 2.5 to 5, I would say, for Gylfi Sigurdsson to an MLS club. You know, I would say the least I would take for Moise Keane is 50 million if PSU really want to buy him, right?
Mm-hmm.
You sell John Joe Kenny, let's say he catches fire at Celtic and you sell him off for, you know, anywhere between 7 and 10 million pounds, you know, that's a pretty good return, right?
Mm-hmm.
Plus whatever you want to invest already without selling players. I don't think it's out of the question to think that they could have 100 million pounds at their disposal. I wouldn't be surprised if it's less than that, like, you know, 70 million, 80 million. But I would say the very least you're looking at for me personally is probably 70 million pounds is your summer investment.
Yeah, net spend, I think, is going to depend a lot on whether or not we sell Keane.
Yeah.
That's just a big part of it. You know, like I was kind of adjusting myself to the fact that he was going, and then you see Fabrizio Romano say, I think – Everton are planning on him staying and playing next season. And I was like, okay, so we don't get that money, but we get back a big time talent. Cool. You know what I mean? I'm fine with that. Let's do it. And at that point, if we keep him, I think our net spend ends up being around 50, you know, once you take off all the sales and everything, you know, subtract that. I think we spent about 50. Last summer was what, 60 something?
It was around 60, I think.
Yeah.
I think it was like 20, or around that, maybe 65.
Mm-hmm. And we have fewer needs now. But I will say, if we end up in Europe, we have – that ups our need for a deeper bench.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
More usable.
I mean, if you let's say you get in the Champions League, you're looking at, you need a definite right back. A lot of people would say you need a new goalkeeper, but then you would have to sell Jordan Pickford. If he has a good Euros, maybe you could get him off more easily. If he doesn't have a good Euros, he struggles. That sale is going to become a lot more complicated. If you make Champions League, you probably have to sell Moise Keane to PSG to fund the squad build, right?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of mitigating factors into, see, it's a simple question, but it's a complicated answer, right?
Really? Yeah.
Because there's a lot of factors that go into how much money they're going to have to spend, you know, because if you make the Champions League, you're going to need another midfielder. You're going to need a starting right back. You're going to need another striker, presumably, because Josh King he's probably not staying, right?
I don't know what's going to happen with him. You know,
we've seen him, I think, make 2 appearances so far.
He's done all right.
He won that free kick that scored us a late goal against Manchester United. So
he did.
I will give him that. People will say, you know, and Carlo has said he's not really in peak shape yet, so maybe we haven't seen him because they're still trying to work on his match fitness. So, but I would be that they try to bring in somebody a little bit younger to replace Moise Kean if they sell him off. So, but yeah, so you say around 50 million net spent, and I'm going to say at the minimum 70 million.
Cool. Honestly, either one, that's with the value that Browns has been getting, either one, that represents a solid summer.
That's probably
summer.
Three players. Yeah.
Yeah. XX Gunther 420. Assumably, there were 419 other people who had the name XX Gunther. And that's why XX Gunther picked 420.
That's right.
End, I'm
that's
sure.
Right. It has nothing to do with a not holiday in the United States. Nothing at all. Nothing at all.
Asks biggest target for summer signing. I have trouble getting really specific with this kind of stuff. I usually like to start with, okay, positions of need. Go from position of need, and then – so immediately I go to right back, which is a position of need. It's one of the most dire positions of need.
Yeah.
And then if we sell Moise Kean, and if for some reason Kean doesn't come back, then we need strikers.
Yeah.
We do.
Yep.
But after that, I mean, a lot of it's going to depend. Is somebody leaving? Are we upgrading? Are we getting some fresh, new, exciting talent, or for some players who are maybe a little, you mentioned Sigurdsson possibly. I don't know. You know, I don't know what's going to happen with Sigurdsson. I mean, he's well-liked in the dressing room, apparently.
Oh, my God. If they sign Gylfi Sigurdsson to a contract extension, I'll lose it. I will not be very happy at all.
Hey, if he keeps – but Carlo's trend is getting the most out of everyone. So if he keeps blending in and doing a good job, and I'm not going to be as angry as Jake will be.
I can't do another two seasons of Gylfi Sigurdsson. I just can't do it. I can't. I cannot put myself through that. I can't do it.
Hey, hey. Hey, what if things, you know, get a little better for Gylfi? You know,
they had better get better. I don't just mean this penalty scorer, man.
I know, man.
You're right. Continue before I derailed you a little bit there.
No, I'm not even sure if you did. I was, you know. Well, I guess I have trouble with specifics when it comes to targets for summer signing. It's hard for me not to say that Max Aarons is a top target, because if we get him for the price we want, I feel like that's one of the first places I go. You know, and if he's, I mean, he's friends with Godfrey, and Godfrey's just been amazing,
magical.
Yeah. You know, so anyway, that's personally where I would have to go. There's a lot of ifs though that happen with certain players leaving. Okay, let's pretend like Gylfi Sigurdsson does leave. Okay, well then, do you find an attacking central player, young, exciting, you know, player from somewhere in Europe? Is that where we start going with that? And if it's somebody young, it's going to be a chance. You're going to be going with potential. So, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of weird stuff there, because you can think of some really exciting young players, but I always hesitate to go too far with that stuff because we just don't know our situation till the end of the season.
Yeah. So. No, I think you're bang on. I think you're bang on with Max Aarons. I think he's the guy that you're going to hear the link more than anybody else. You're going to hear the interest more than anybody else, at least until the season ends, right? Because right now it's him and it's Adrian Rabiot who are we are being linked with.
Who's getting to play for Juve, by the way.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's...
He is getting playing time now.
Yeah, he's getting to play for Juve. He's playing for Pirlo. You know what I mean? So it's like...
I mean, they're like, Is it really that much of a step down to go play for Carlo Ancelotti, though? A guy that he's, you know.
It's not. It's not at all.
Especially if they make the Champions League. That's like a lateral move, basically.
Now, you and I, we're not hard to convince about that kind of stuff, but all the rest of the world says Juventus is Juventus. And
Yeah. Juventus is Juventus, but like Juventus has not been Juventus that whole time.
Well, I think it would be really easy to make happen if he wasn't playing much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Which he wasn't. You know.
So, I don't know. Like right now, they're playing him a decent amount. So, yeah. You know, anyway, just want to clarify, there's two other questions. One of them I don't think we can give the full attention to because it's too good of a question, I'm just going to say. Speak Boy says, as a Scouse Blue who moved to the USA and lived there for most of the last decade before coming back home, I wanted to adopt a U.S. sports team. As I liked baseball, I looked for the most Everton team in Major League Baseball. I picked the New York Mets. Who are the Everton equivalents in Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, and even MLS? And I've got to be honest, Speak Boy, this takes research. This is a hard question. I wanted to acknowledge your question because it requires a lot more thought and attention than we're going to be able to give right now. Like, it's tough. We were talking about it before we came on. I told this question to Jake, and we were both like, where to even begin on that? That's hard. I would actually like to make it a topic one day, though, for one of our shows and segment. I just need to remember that this person is the one who suggested it. That's a good question. Yeah. I know, Jake, you had one for Major League Baseball you're going to throw out there just because.
Yeah. Yeah, no, now hear me out on this, okay, because I know this is going to, like, this is going to be a shock to the system and it's gonna, this team in particular, but because of the color of this team, good parallel to Everton Football Club. They are one of the originals in Major League Baseball. Everton is an original, obviously, in the English game. The Cincinnati Reds have a tradition of winning, but they've won a lot in the past and have not won anything in time since the year 1990. Last time Everton won something was the year 1995 when they won I believe it was the FA Cup. So both teams haven't won since the 90s. Both teams are originals. Both teams have a history of winning in the past and being dominant in the past. So if you're looking for a Major League Baseball team and you can swallow wearing the color red in the summertime when Everton aren't playing, the Cincinnati Reds are your team to go with. Right now they are, I would say, up. You know, they have a manager who's, you know, maybe not the best manager that you can get. They don't have a Carlo Ancelotti, but you know, that's your team.
So, is Barry Larkin pretty much Tim Cahill? Is that
one? That's a good one. No, I like that. I like that comparison. Yeah, that's a good one, man.
I was searching on that one. I was like, who can I do for Barry Larkin? It's the first one that came up. Cool. All right. So, anyway, I'm not going to suggest any because my answers are lame and I have nothing to back them up with. So, but I do want to actually give that attention sometime. So
I would also like to add that I don't think there's an MLS club that's anything like Everton because the MLS is still relatively new. So
trying to work that out. That's a tough one too. So Jake, we need to reconvene on this at a later date on that one. Deal?
Deal. Done.
Okay. To be continued, Speak Boy. Last question. from one of my favorite names. That's One Juicy Duck on Reddit. That's a heck of a Reddit name. If you had to get rid of one summer signing, who would it be? Well, of course, we had to go a little negative. So what is... Are you okay? All right. So, if you had to get rid of one summer signing, who would it be? So essentially, this is really hard because you're talking about choosing between Godfrey, James Rodriguez, Alan. Who else? Who else is a summer signing? I feel like we had one more. Nkunku, maybe? Niels Nkunku?
I think you're right. Nkunku, I believe, was Ancelotti's first signing.
Oh, Doucouré.
Oh, Doucouré. How could we forget?
Yeah.
How could we possibly forget?
Okay, this question is too hard as well. I don't like it.
Honestly. Oh, Alex, wait, was Alex a movie? He was last summer, right? That was last summer.
Yep. Okay.
I'm not going to answer this question. I'm not getting rid of any of those guys. Come on now. Those guys are like keystones to the squad now. Like, I can't, you can't like be like, oh, which one would you get rid of? I wouldn't get rid of any of them. Are you kidding me?
It's hard. How could you in good conscience say Alan or Doucouré? You know what I mean? When both of them bring so much, you know? James Rodriguez is a flipping global icon, okay? And Godfrey is a flipping boxer turned footballer. You know what I mean? It's absurd. So I wanted to acknowledge the fact that this question was asked. I don't know if I have the guts to answer it.
I know I don't. Not definitely not. For sure, I don't.
I think in order to answer that, I would have to like put the names in a hat and pick one at random and just go, sorry, your time was up. What do you do? You know? So anyway, that may be like, if you could say out of all those, you could be like, well, Nkunku normally doesn't play with the first team. So yeah, it's a cheap way out. So, all right. I think it's the end of the show. So apologies to that juicy duck. That's One Juicy Duck. That was just one juicy question.
Yes. Yes, it was.
Yes. So, Jacob Tholomew, we have finished the show.
Yet again.
The show is over. Yeah. So Jacob, do you have anything you want to push out there? We know you do Toffee Targets. Do you have another site potentially that you're writing with right now?
I do, yeah.
Do you? I had no idea.
I do. Yes, I am writing with a great group of people over at The Broken Anchor. The Broken Anchor is where I believe you can find them, at The Broken Anchor on Twitter. It is a new company that we are trying to get, I am a part of, that they are trying to get off the ground, and I am trying to be a contributor for them. I am writing about all different kinds of things. It's not just football/soccer over there. It will be a whole variety of topics. I have written a piece on Manchester City and West Ham, and I wrote a piece about the Derby this past weekend. I wrote a piece about the Everton-Manchester United draw, but I won't just be writing about soccer/football. I will be writing about all different kinds of topics. In fact, I will probably be writing about a local MMA fight happening this weekend. So.
So is it mainly sports though? Or do you delve into like male hygiene product reviews or anything like that?
I would like to branch out a little bit. I would like to write a little bit more about entertainment, perhaps some movie reviews. That's something that I used to enjoy doing a lot when I took a course on it in high school. So
sweet.
Entertainment, sports, random things. I had thought about writing about one of my favorite cartoons that I watched when I was a teenager, but I couldn't really put that together in my head properly. Maybe eventually when I get it put together.
Are you trying to keep it secret for a reason?
Well, I don't want to give away what it is now, Jerry, because then it's going to be a surprise when it comes out.
So clearly he's talking about the cartoon film Heavy Metal. It's obvious that's what he's talking about.
Yes. Yes, obviously. That's exactly what I'm talking about. But anyway.
It's where we were all jumping, you know? So it's...
Check it out, The Broken Anchor, at The Broken Anchor on Twitter. You can find me there. I put out pieces Tuesdays and Sundays at 12:30 p.m.
I have to ask, what is The Broken Anchor? The title. Like, what does it mean?
I haven't gotten that far into the conversation yet. I have not asked that question. I did not even think to ask that question.
I was curious. I wasn't sure if it's a symbolic thing for the region or if it was like, hey, how can an anchor be broken? It just has to be lighter to be broken, to not function. So how would that be? So I was trying to work that out, because I looked at the logo and I saw it had like a little crack in it.
We're good.
Okay. For those of you listening via podcast, Jake either has an enormous pet that's tossing him notes, or has family members or roommates interacting with. So yeah, that explains the pauses. So anyway, Broken Anchor, check out The Broken Anchor, Toffee Targets, which is something Jake's been doing for a while. And there you go. So
all over the place.
Yes. That's good. He's a content provider. He's a giver. Okay. So
I'm going to be a social media influencer.
Hey,
not careful.
Hey, it's going to be all, you know, revealing pictures of Jake trying to talk about different protein supplements. Yay. Right. Additional plugging. I need to mention, if you've been digging the videos, if you've been digging the podcast, Toffee Blues USA, please subscribe to the Toffee Blues YouTube channel, subscribe to our podcast, all that stuff. You can do that. There's a little button down there, and hit for notifications if you like. But yeah, there's a lot of really cool, this channel is pretty great. There's a lot of awesome guys that, awesome people that know a lot of stuff. They let me hang out virtually sometimes, which is cool. So, so there's that. I'm okay with the club that would have me as a member, I guess. So yeah. Also check out the Toffee Blues on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and the whole website with information, breaking down Everton. It's just a hell of a lot of Everton. Okay. So check it out on there. And finally, yeah, I have to do this. I keep forgetting to buy my book, Randolph the Christmas Moose, for the kids. Or you know what? Maybe you're an adult who's not getting to do what you want to, and something's holding you back. Like maybe an elf that has no chin. Well, that's what happens to Randolph. All right. So Randolph, or maybe you want to get into running. Yeah. Randolph does. Okay. Anyway, Randolph the Christmas Moose, you can find it. It's not just a Christmas book there, even though the title, yeah, would say it is. Anyway, there you go. You can find it on Amazon. Gosh, I'm pushing my book, man. Oh, my God. Anyway, all right, Jake. I just want to tell you thanks, man. As always, it's really cool to
have you. Yes, always a good time.
All right. I'm going to go hang out with the wife now.
Enjoy that.
For about 5 minutes. And then she'll be like, it's time to sleep. So, yeah. Anyway, good to talk to you, man. Always good energy, good vibes. It's a hell of a good time to be an Evertonian, man.
Yes. Up the Toffees.
Up the Toffees. I'm pretending there's a
beef. I said, I swear. Tom Davis.
Yeah, if you haven't found that video, you should.
Oh, you should. You have to search it out because it's hilarious.
Oh yeah, I finally found it today. It took me that long. All right, much love to everybody out there. Jake, thanks again, man. Take care of yourself.
Yeah,
always a pleasure every time I get to talk to you. So, thanks for the thoughtful insight.
Got it.
Anyway, so everybody else out there, take care of yourself. Stay safe. Keep riding this pandemic thing out, you know?
We're getting towards the end.
Yeah, maybe a light at the end of the tunnel. It'd be crazy. All right, everybody, let's get 3 points this coming Monday. Much love. Bye.